Welcome to the Ether. Today is Tuesday, December 21st, 2021. This was a space hosted by Hutch. It's the DGEN IRA Roth LLC Make Money With Your Money space hour. Fun time. Let's take a listen.
I know y'all came here. I'm going to keep this to an hour. For one, I got a pickleball game. And two, I'm hoping this can be self-contained. So terraspaces.org can record it. I want to give them a shout out. I mean, these guys just worked their butt off. So it's not only that they're helping us, you know, get better information, but as far as indoctrinating the noob is only going to transact. They're only going to get off of exchanges and transact and do all the degen stuff that's really going to blow up the Terra ecosystem by learning. And so I've heard them on Cephi Spaces. They're on there. They're asking questions, and but they have to do it on their own time. So the fact that these guys are just busting their butt to record it is great. I noticed from their posts, it takes a certain kind of green fuel to really get these boys motivated over there. So you guys should really post your address. I noticed on your pinned tweet, you have a bunch of resources. Post your Terra wallet address. There's no shame in it. You guys are providing a great service for everybody. That's how we're all going to make
it. Yeah, we also chip in for the resources, at least, you know, for the infrastructure, what these guys are using. But make sure this space is, you know, the funds will be utilized for the community.
Yeah, well, the donations could be used for whatever, but they're working their butt off. At any rate, you guys came to hear about the DGEN IRA Roth LLC, so that's what I'm going to tell you about. I did my consult yesterday, and why I'm so excited about it is not only because I have money in IRAs and some Roths that I'd like to put into crypto, because you think about it like, okay, Apple can only go up so much from here so quickly, Microsoft, whatever, Netflix, whatever you're into, dividend stocks, but crypto, we're still so early. The other thing is, I posted a tweet for this that showed that there was basically between 401ks and IRAs over $10 trillion languishing in these accounts. And so just imagine if your boomer friends and family knew that there was a way to get into crypto with the IRA, because it's hard to come up with net spendable after-tax dollars cash flow. It's hard to do that. But a lot of people have money, especially like the millennials and the Gen Z. They're already here in crypto. There's some coming. It's really Gen X and the boomers that have the larger proportion of wealth, at least in the United States, which compared to the rest of the world, relatively is a lot. And so it really can blow up this ecosystem if we can unlock that door. The problem is, it's not that easy. You go to whatever, like I have Interactive Brokers and I have some TD Ameritrade, and I can invest in GBTC. It's the Grayscale spot mutual fund. Used to be a 2% fee. Now it's 1.5%. You could buy ETHE. I don't know why you would, but I believe that is 2%. Now there's this BITO and the ETFs that are tracking futures. It's not even tracking spot. They're a little bit cheaper, but it's not tracking the actual asset. And even the spot fund trades at a discount to NAV. So there's not a lot of options unless you take matters into your own hand. And what I know from servicing business owners and A-type personalities, which they tend to have a lot of money, is they really value control. And this structure gives you the ability to do that. So just to clarify, I already have a crypto IRA through the companies called Directed IRA. There also is one by, what's it called? iTrust Capital. But I got into Directed IRA because they had exposure to Luna through Gemini. That's who they custody with. And it's like a $345 setup fee. They charge you 1% for trades. You pay $295 every year ongoing, but at least you get exposure to it. So I rolled some money over there and I got some Luna in the 40s. It's obviously doing well. And that was the only asset I got. Come to find out, if you want to roll it out of that kind of old vanilla structure to the more complex structure that I'm going to talk about, it turns out they charge you $200 per every asset class you have. So I'm glad I just went all in Luna. With the money I rolled over there, it was like $25,000. I just went all in Luna, which was nice. So at any rate, the new structure, after talking to the attorney, is basically inside the wrapper of an LLC. So the first step is you set up an LLC, and you can do that in any state. Used to be like Delaware was the hottest girl in the dance when it comes to setting up LLCs. Nevada was hot for a while. Wyoming is kind of the new, the hottest girl in the dance. $102 to set up an LLC in Wyoming. There's no state tax in Wyoming. There's also charging order protection. This is in an IRA, so it's probably already got a wrapper of creditor protection around it. But just nice to know. So it's going to cost me $102 to set up the Wyoming LLC. I'm going to go apply for a bank account. I'm probably going to do a bank / brokerage account in one. And then also you can apply to certain exchanges for an institutional account. I asked them who they had the best luck with, and I guess they have a direct relationship. They said you could use whoever will open one up. I'm hoping to find, well, KuCoin, it doesn't matter because it's not KYC. So I just need to set up a certain email for this IRA. And that's just going to be dealing with this IRA. And I will, of course, have a KuCoin account, but, they advise that I set up a Kraken account as well, because they have a direct relationship there. And that's for people who are rolling funds over to the LLC. So what you would do is you would roll it to the directed trust company. That's their built-in trust company at IRA. So you would just roll over IRA funds. And then they would cash it out before you roll it over. And then they would take that cash and they would deposit it in your LLC. So since it's fiat, we can't go directly to KuCoin. You need an on-ramp. And so I'm going to use Kraken since they have native Luna on there now, which is nice. Otherwise, I know Coinbase Pro, you can get an institutional account, but I heard they were slow at opening them. They said that Gemini was, but they were kind of slow and running behind. They said I had a human contact that would help me expedite it. So, and I will obviously keep you guys posted as I go through this. So now I have my LLC. It's mine's going to be a little more complex, but I'm setting up a crypto IRA through directed IRA and directed trust company. I'm setting up an LLC. They're rolling over funds from directed trust company, putting it in my LLC. At that point, I'm using the email for the LLC. I'm setting up a KuCoin account. And I'm going to buy a Ledger. You don't have to. You could use the TerraStation web wallet, and you can set up web wallets for whatever you want, you know, whether it's Luna. I don't know. I know there's some Voyager folks on here. I don't know if Voyager allows you to set up an institutional account or a company account. Big TCO, do you know if that's possible? So give me 100%.
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Well, I know you know the powers that be over there. That might be something worth talking to them about. There is $10 trillion languishing in retirement funds, and boomers don't even know what they're doing with it. And they're curious about crypto, and if they're informed, they want to get involved. But like, again, as far as net spendable after tax dollars, a lot of times people are using that for cash flow in and out. That's a harder dollar to come by versus these pre-tax dollars. Even though there's technically a lien against it or a mortgage against it with the government, people I notice are just a lot more flippant about investing it, or just like, you know, they lose 30% and it's just like, well, whatever, I'm in it for the long haul. So I think they're going to have more of a risk tolerance if it's within these structures as well. So once I have all my wallets set up, the next issue I was concerned about, because when you're dealing with retirement plans, there's self-dealing issues, there's prohibited transaction issues, there's issues with leverage, there's issues with UBIT, or unrelated business income tax, or UBTI, unrelated business taxable income. It's just referred to as UBIT, where you can't have an active business. And they give an example. If you watch their websites, they say, you know, so if you use your self-directed IRA to go buy a school bus, and the school bus is driving, you're renting out the school bus and driving people around, that you can't do that. Well, you can do that, but you're going to pay tax at the highest level with that school bus structure. And other people have said, what if other people are, I'm hiring somebody to maintain it, I'm hiring somebody to drive it, I'm not touching it, it's just really a passive income for me. The fact that it's an active business for somebody, for some humans, is what makes that susceptible to UBIT. And they recommend putting a corporate blocker where you actually set up a whole separate C corp to kind of to minimize UBIT from 37% to right now it's 21%. And I know Joe Biden's talked about making it 25. Regardless, it's still less once it's within the C corp. But the C corp would still pay that tax. So I figured I may have to do that for some of the DGEN stuff. And I was prepared to do it. I mean, if I'm making whatever 180% on yield farms or 200% on yield farms, if I can, you know, pay 20% and still be able to do that inside an IRA with pre-tax dollars or with a Roth and let that compound to infinity, like that's pretty cool. I was prepared to do that. Well, come to find out, I started asking him about the different things. I said, let me just kind of pull up my screen and just walk you through the different things that I want to do. And you tell me which ones are subject to UBIT or not. So he said staking's a gray area, but he thinks it's going to fall under UBIT, and he thinks it's going to fall under the school bus thing because somebody somewhere is running a node. Even though it's not mining, somebody somewhere is running a node. So he believes, and they want to be on the right side of the law. And he says, listen, you do whatever you want. It's your structure. But, you know, if you go not claiming that as UBIT, and then it gets challenged, you're going to go back penalties and taxes. I said, well, I don't want to mess with that. So I said, okay, well, I don't do a lot of staking anyway on the Terra ecosystem because I'm doing all kinds of DGEN stuff. And I said, you know, I realize I probably can't borrow against my Luna and do stuff because, you know, there's problems with leverage. And I know this from having clients who do real estate. And he goes, oh, hold on, Hutch. Don't be not so fast. You can do leverage. You just can't have a PG against it. A PG is a personal guarantee. So when people are using self-directed IRAs for real estate, their banks make them do often a personal guarantee where it says, hey, if you stiff us on a loan, we get to come into your personal assets and claw your personal assets. He says, but you can do that with real estate if it's a fully, even if it's collateralized by whatever, as long as it's a non-recourse loan, it doesn't come back to you personally, whoever the IRA is attached to, you can do leverage. So I just go, so wait a second. I showed him Anchor Borrow. I said, I could post B Luna on here and borrow against it to do other stuff within an IRA and not have any crazy tax or penalties or anything else. He goes, yeah, you're fine. I was like, oh, baby, you're kidding me. He says, yep. I said, okay, well, that's exciting. So I want to see if I need one of these corporate blockers because I already have to pay for an LLC. That's not bad. But as far as the corporate blocker, am I going to need it for yield farms, right? I would need it for staking, but I don't necessarily need to do staking. Let me show you what these liquidity pools are. And I want to show you the Nexus vaults. I want to show you LunaX, all these things. Long story short, it looks like the Stater, the LunaX, and anything dealing with like the liquidity pool of LunaX, I would need a corporate blocker since it's ultimately tied to staking. Now, I understand other people's stances. Hey, dig through all these transactions and find it. I just don't need any problems. And I have other pockets of money where I can do Stater Labs and LunaX. I don't need to run afoul here. I want this to be as squeaky clean as possible. So if it does get challenged, like, hey, here's the books, here's everything, have at it, check it out. So if I post on the Luna, B Luna liquidity pool, that was the first thing I showed him. I said, this is an alternative to staking. And I explained to him what it is. It's basically an automated market maker. And I'm just providing liquidity to this automated market maker. And I'm receiving rewards as a cut of the fees as other people trade. He goes, no, you're fine there. There's no UBIT there. I was like, okay. And I said, what if I do this with some of these other, you know, Apollo, Nexus, Anchor liquidity pools, and I'm making hundreds of percent. And he goes, that's irrelevant. It's just, there's no human being. There's no human interaction that's requiring UBIT. So it's all dealing with automated market makers and liquidity pools. You're fine. You can do that to your heart's content. No corporate blocker necessary. Okay. So wait a second. So I can do my quasi staking. I could do liquidity pools, and I can borrow against my Luna to do it all within just one LLC. No corporate blocker. Yep. Oh man, this is cool. And I showed him Nexus. I said, you know, Nexus, they're not staking, but essentially I'm parking B Luna there and they're borrowing against it, but I'm not giving a PG and they're taking it and they're putting it on an Anchor Earn. He goes, yeah, you're fine. You do that all day long. All the swaps, which by the way, I'm coming out, I'm producing the video. The video is produced. I'm actually just waiting to release it. Probably do it right after this call, which is really, really, really cool. It's probably my favorite one I've done so far on the ARB swaps. I do those to my heart's content. And I was just blown away because I've been dollar cost averaging into Luna and crypto, mostly Luna once I heard about it, even though I heard about it late in the game once it got listed on Coinbase. You know, I only have so much cash flow coming in, and thankfully it was down for as long as it did for me to fill my bags as much as I did. But now that I know that I have basically a pool of money that's sitting in mutual funds at record highs that are basically denominated in a dollar debased by $30 trillion in debt, I'm really excited about reallocating that to this structure. The other thing is going back to the KuCoin. Steffi's been talking about the Infinity Bond, and Lunomics is talking about it too. I saw somebody bringing up a rebalancing bot. I can do that stuff to my heart's content. Trading, whether it's short-term, long-term capital gains, there's no tax. So eventually what I plan to do, I eventually plan to have a three bucket structure for my my crypto allocation. Before I get into that, though, that was a lot. Let me see if people have any questions. If anybody has any questions and wants to raise their hand on the structure itself, or what you can and can't do, before I tell you my kind of dream allocation. So everybody spends a lot of time on what I call asset allocation. Like, you need this much large cap, small cap, international, all that stuff. It's like the typical wealth manager. I call them pie chart jockeys. I always got more into the planning side. I got basically accreditation in estate planning. I got accreditation in tax, because we were supposed to say we're not allowed to give tax advice as a financial planner. And I always thought that was bullshit. And I'm like, how can you give financial advice and not give tax advice? Like, that's just the biggest joke in the world. So I passed the three tests to become what's called an enrolled agent with the IRS. Doesn't mean I'm a revenue agent. I am not a revenue agent. Nothing could be further from the truth. But if you look up enrolled agent IRS and read the description, it basically says that I can file taxes. I could represent people in tax court. I don't do my own taxes. Probably wouldn't represent anybody in tax court. But like I said on another call, if they're going to pull somebody's number, right? And they're probably going to pick a big target, probably a target bigger than me. And whoever's number they pull, I would just donate some of my time to be like a paralegal of sorts to kind of help fight the good fight. Regardless, I digress. So where was I? Asset allocation versus what I call tax allocation. People don't give a lot of thought to tax allocation. They just kind of go along with this willy-nilly thought about retirement of like, well, I'm going to be in a lower tax bracket when I retire. Are you? Really? I got 30 trillion reasons to say you may not be, especially if you make any kind of money and you've been keeping all your money in tax sheltered accounts like IRAs and 401ks and defined benefit pensions. That might be tough to pull off. Not to mention when you retire, you probably paid off your house, so you don't have a mortgage deduction. Your exemptions and credits for kids, they're all gone and grown up. So even if you're only living off of 70 to 80% of the income you were used to living on, you actually might be in a higher tax bracket, because they can change that shit with the stroke of a pen. And they have before. If you've watched my tax video on YouTube, the end of year tax trips, tricks. If you haven't, we're still not to the end of the year. You should definitely check it out. There's some good stuff you could do while other things other than Luna hasn't pumped, like harvesting losses. But regardless, I try and get my clients, or used to, I'm no longer a financial planner, presence to not only asset allocation, but tax allocation. Which means you have some in a taxable bucket. That's the worst bucket, because you not only pay tax on the growth, short and long-term capital gains, interest, dividends, you're just going to get clipped every year with the compounding. Plus, if you end up with a big enough estate, you're going to get estate taxes too. There's tax sheltered or tax deferred, or put another way by a financial planner I follow. He says another word for tax for deferred is tax postponed. It just doesn't sound as cool as tax deferred, but really that's all you're doing. You're not saving money on taxes. You're just postponing taxes. And then there's tax free, which is the Roth. The problem is if you make too much money or you don't work, like you actually don't have gainful employment, you can't just contribute $6,000 or $6,500 or whatever into a Roth because you actually need income. And you can't do both. One way around that I did, and if you make too much money, if you make over $190,000, I think it's gone up to about two. They've kind of adjusted for inflation. You can't even contribute to a Roth. They just go, this is too good for you, and we need your money. And we need not only the money, we need taxes from you. We want taxes on all the growth. We want to be your silent partner in all your growth. That's what an IRA is. But I set up a Roth 401k for my company, and so I could actually do $19,500. So I did it this year. And I'm going to do it January, and then I'm going to put that into the IRA structure. So what they talked about doing is it's the most expensive structure they have, which, by the way, set up for it is $1,500, including an hour consult with an attorney. That's for the most expensive, what I'm going to tell you about, the multi-member LLC. If you do a single member LLC, it's $800. And that would just be like if you just want a Roth, not a Roth, and or excuse me, either a Roth or an IRA, not both. Like I want both, hence the multi-member. And if you don't want the consult with an attorney, like you just listen to this. And none of this is tax or legal or investment advice, and everybody has to do their own research. But if you just said, hey, I think I get it, and I just want the structure, it's $450 setup. Like we're not talking about a lot of money here. Like if you put on a $450 setup, if you put $45,000, like you had $45,000 in an IRA, we're talking about 10 basis points, right? Like your Vanguard funds cost more than that. There's other fees too, which we can talk about. But let me go back to my ideal structure. So I'm going to set up a multi-member LLC, and that LLC is going to be owned by two parties, IRA, FBO Hutch. FBO stands for the benefit of Hutch. So Hutch's IRA and Hutch's Roth. I'm going to roll money from both the IRA and the Roth, and they're going to figure out the accounting of how much money comes over, and they're going to pro rata that out. So like my LLC will be owned, call it 70% by the IRA, 20 or 30% by the Roth or whatever. I haven't figured out the exact number. Whatever it is, the Roth is probably going to be smaller. And so all the investing is just going to happen as one structure. But how it's taxed is just based on the LLC ownership. So I don't need two for one. I don't need to set up two structures and pay, you know, two setup fees, two annual filing fees, two registered agent fees. You don't have to do a registered agent. A registered agent is somebody who kind of like checks your mail and answers stuff that deals with your LLC. It costs like $125 a year to have a registered agent do that for you. It also gives you privacy. So I don't want to deal with that. So I'm going to pay $125. I'd rather just pay it once. The other cool thing about the multiple member structure is crypto has a ton of volatility. I hope we don't get the volatility that's been in the past. I've seen the Bitcoin charts where it's gone down 80% a couple of times. Lunanomics, he showed that that Luna's dropped 50%. I think it was either 70 or 80% just this year. So that could happen again. And thankfully, I've already characterized in my mind when that happens with Luna. That's my bell. That's my Pavlov's dog symbol to just buy more Luna and DCA in. Well, with the IRA and the Roth, the funds will already be in there. But what I can do when it dips is I can call the attorney company that's helping me set this up. And I could say, I want to convert some of my IRA to Roth. And so they basically make a ledger entry into my LLC operating documents folder that says, on this date, transfer was, the ownership went from 70-30 to 50-50 or 45-55 or whatever it is. And so when there's dips, I can essentially do a Roth conversion. I'll owe tax, but I'll owe tax on a depressed value, right? Because I'm only going to do that during dips. And then when I'm looking to spend this money in retirement, which 59 and a half sounded so far to me, but it ain't that far for me. I still have a four handle in my age, but time is just going by so quick. But now, going back to my tax allocation, if the government with the stroke of a pen says, you know what, we need a little bit more money, and the highest marginal rate goes from 37 to, forget 39.6, but 49.6 or 59.6, or the other thing that the government's done in the past is they say, you know, everybody making over $600,000 or whatever it is, they're going to pay 39, 37, or 39.6. With the stroke of a pen, they could just say anybody who makes over 150, they're going to pay 39.6. 150, those are, what's the rhetoric? Anybody making over 250, oh my gosh, those bastards, they're making so much money. And, you know, where I live in a fairly urban area, it's like if you're making 250 raising a family, like you're like an average Joe, barely. Like you're not even an above average show. Like you're barely sending your kids to soccer practice and taking one vacation a year and going out to eat once a week and paying your rent or paying your mortgage, your rent and your taxes. And you're just barely getting by raising kids. But regardless, when there's dips, I plan to convert that multi-member. And so me paying an extra $800 for, setup fees to have that flexibility. And then I just have one pooled account. And then the pro rata share between that pooled account, whether that's a combination of KuCoin, Terra Station Wallet, Kraken, whatever it is, whatever I'm doing with all those funds that I control the keys. They're my keys, my crypto. Now, technically, on the IRA side, technically, I still have a silent partner. And if I were to like flee the country or whatever, you know, I would be committing a crime and whatever. I would owe the government their fair share if I took it out before 59 and a half. But at least going back to the control aspect, the keys I own and control. I have the seed phrase. As the main, I'm not the owner of the LLC, the IRA and the Roth is the owner of the LLC. And it's for the benefit of me, but it's not considered self-dealing that I be the manager of this to direct how the investment, similar to like you control how your IRA account is invested. Now, he did say that they don't know, like if you go to buy gold with a self-directed IRA, you can't custody that at home because it's a collectible and you can't like have and enjoy that at home. It needs to be parked somewhere and custodied somewhere in order to have gold in an IRA. And he did say, you know, we're not totally for sure how they would rule if you have whatever your Ledger Nano at home. And I said, well, that's BS. I said that one I feel pretty comfortable fighting because the crypto isn't on my ledger, right? Just like if with my Schwab IRA, the stock certificates aren't on my hard drive when I'm doing the trades. The crypto is out on the blockchain. The ledger is just my access, just like me trading mutual funds inside an IRA at Schwab through that website. I'm open for questions if anybody has some. I'm going to drink some water.
So you probably, Hutch, you probably need to see the raise hands and assign them a speaker role so they can ask questions.
Yeah, let me make you a co-host and you can help. Because a lot of times I kind of just start walking around. I'm a poser.
I'm driving probably next 10, 15 minutes, so I won't be able to do much.
Okay. Here, somebody, Tara, what's his name? Epirion. I just made him co-host. So you could probably speak yourself. Oh, wait, lots of people have requested. Oh, my God.
Make Pappy co-host. Yeah, he can also speak.
I'll make Pappy co-host. Hey, Pappy. I hope I'm doing this right, guys. I'm just a Gen Xer, so right to co-host. Okay. I don't know if that's working. I thought I did, but let me... Okay. I'm going to add you all as speakers. That it seems to be working. All right. Fire away.
Hi.
Hey, Hutch.
Thanks for hosting this space. One question, like you said that you chose DirectAI as your provider. Have you compared it to any other providers? So basically, what makes you choose this one over the other?
Yeah, no, it's really, have you ever heard of marketing? Like if everybody's selling, what was it? If everybody's selling like green marbles and somebody, only one person has a black marble, then they're going to sell a lot of black marbles. It was really like, iTrust Capital was the only other kind of major operation I saw. These two were like the big ones. And it looks like iTrust Capital just had the kind of the vanilla version that I had with the Gemini account that I did through Directed. And I don't know if you missed earlier in the call, maybe the fees were like a little bit cheaper for just the vanilla, not what I was talking about, but the vanilla version with iTrust Capital. But they didn't have Luna, and at least Directed IRA had Wrap Luna. Well, now that I'm doing this DGEN LLC structure, it doesn't matter. So I'm all ears, and I'm open to if you know of some other providers. Do you?
Yeah, they are like IRA Financial Group, I believe, and like Solo 401k. So they are plenty out there. I'm just, yeah, because there are so many options out there. I don't know like which one I should choose. So
can you tweet about all those options you just mentioned?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, Hutch.
Hey, Hutch.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Tara Epirion. Just to let you know, I have a self-directed IRA that I opened about 3-4 weeks ago. So I've been in the space, not for a long time, but for a little while. And I think I mentioned on a prior service that I went through Broad Financial to help me get this set up. And they charge a little bit, but they helped get everything set up.
Yeah, this is the one I was telling you earlier, Hutch, Broad Financials. I thought Broadband Financial or something, but it was Broad Financial. I just remembered the name.
Yeah. I'm open to anything. Yeah. So I haven't signed anything on the dotted line. I did pay $400, but I actually learned a lot, and I could probably deduct that given the nature of my business. So if you guys think there's a better option, and I did list all the fees, I'm happy to go over it. I want to hit all the questions first. I'm happy to go over all the fees, but if you guys think there's a better provider, I'm all ears. I don't have any dog in this hunt with this provider. I don't have any kickback agreement or anything. It was just, it was a young guy I got on with. I think he was one of their younger attorneys because they said his hourly rate was a little bit less than the rest of theirs. And he was knowledgeable about what I was talking about, and knowing, like, I've set up retirement plans for companies. I've set up 401ks. I've set up SEPs. I've set up simples. And he obviously knew that business. And so it checked all the boxes, and everything sounded reasonable, fees and all. And what he told me as far as the knowledge of this space, it was what I wanted to hear. And he gave me the reasoning why. And so it just worked for me. But I'm down to check out other providers if you guys want to throw my name on a tweet and put them out there. Especially if you have a contact, that'd be even better. Or DM me.
I wouldn't say that Broad Financial is necessarily better. They cost a little more. It's about $1,200, but they set your LLC up for you. And they've been doing self-directed IRAs for many things, real estate, other things, and crypto. So they give you some advice up front on which exchanges to use. Okay. Kraken was on the list, and I did sign up with Kraken. I applied to about four all at the same time on December 1st. And so far, Coinbase, Gemini, and maybe one other they've barely responded to me. Kraken had me open in about a week.
Nice.
And then BlockFi also opened an account for me pretty quickly. They have to be business accounts. You can't do a personal account.
Right. And you did an LLC, right?
Yeah, through an LLC. Broad Financial is your LLC for you. Then there's another, Madison Trust, I believe they are, handles the transfer of the LLC funds, in my case, from Vanguard into my checking account.
And what did that cost? Because there's an annual fee for that. What did that cost per year?
Yeah, I think it's $250 a year for the for them to manage that part of it.
Right.
So you check the paperwork, but it was fairly reasonable considering, you know, I got into Luna at about 50 by the time I got it in there. So I'm up pretty good on it right now.
Good for you, man. Nice job sneaking it in there in early December. Nice job. Hey, so it's 1200. And did you do a single member or the multi-member like I talked about?
It's a single member.
Okay. So it's 1200. And what state did you do the LLC in?
I just registered my home state, the state I live in now, which is Alabama. I read a little bit on that, and they said there's really not a benefit to do one in one of the good states.
Yeah.
If you're doing a single member, and it's actually maybe even better to do it in your home state, is what Broad Financial advised me.
Well, not my home state, but maybe yours.
Yeah, but, I think, well, you're California, right? Yeah.
Okay. So annual cost is what it is. I understand that. If I had a different home state, I'd probably do that. And then
Kraken, though, since you're going through a business account, it costs a lot more than my experience so far with a personal account.
Really?
0.9% on any stable coin, and then like 1.4% on any crypto.
For trades or for withdrawals?
For a trade. No fee to withdraw. Well, except for the network fee. So I ended up doing is I bought USDT.
Yeah.
So I got 0.9%, which doesn't sound like much, but when you start.
But it's a number. That's a number, man.
When you throw six zeros behind a number and you throw it to them, yeah, it's about $1,000 gone instantly.
Yeah.
But anyway, I transfer that to KuCoin. And then once I got over to KuCoin, and I used the Tron network too, which only cost $2.50 instead of ERC-20, which was, I can't remember how much it was for Ethereum. But I used the Tron network, got it over to KuCoin, did the changes or switched to USD and then sent her over to Terra. And I've been in Terra since then. I do everything within Terra now.
This is really great info. Thank you for sharing this. And so it sounds to me like if, you know, now that it's Luna's pumped and obviously you could keep pumping, maybe I don't like if it was December, I would have just paid the 1% when it came back to 50. It was actually below that. I probably would have done that too. But maybe I don't need to be in a hurry and I can wait for the others to get back to you. Did you hear? And maybe if not, maybe what would be helpful for all of us is if even though like Coinbase and the other ones that are getting back to you, if you can inquire with them what their institutional trading costs are, because maybe I just do like a DCA. Maybe I start a little bit with Kraken to make sure, you know, I'll pay the 0.9 to just get some exposure, but I don't just go all in there. And then I wait for the other ones to come through. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm getting?
With Coinbase and Gemini both, they keep asking me for more information and I keep sending them information and then I don't hear back for 3 or 4 days. And then I get another email saying, hey, send me this document, which I've sent it to them many times too. I'm repeating the documents over.
Right. Right.
Now BlockFi opened my account pretty quickly. I just applied for it last week and they opened it on Friday. So I applied like on Monday and they had it open by Friday. I've been doing ACHs to them 10K at a time and they haven't charged for that. And, you know, it's sitting in there, but it takes a while for the ACH to clear. And
now, who's doing the ACH? The trust company, right? You're not doing it. The trust company's doing it, correct?
Well, no, it's going through because the trust company sets up business checking account. So, you know, I'm the manager for that business checking account.
You're right. You're right. That actually makes sense. Okay. That's good to know. So BlockFi isn't too bad, huh?
They haven't been charging for trades. So for Gemini US, I've used them for an account and then it's just a $10 fee to transfer it to KuCoin. So hopefully this is a better route than going through Kraken.
Yeah. No, that's super helpful because Kraken, you said to buy USDT on Tron was 0.9%. No, so almost 1%.
Sorry, the trading fee for any stable coin on Kraken is 0.9%.
0.9. Oh, 9 basis points. Okay. Fee. Okay.
To transfer it, to withdraw it, which I could do instantly. I sent them wires. So the wires showed up on the same day.
Okay.
Same day I sent them, they're in the account. I swapped it over to USDT. And then 5 minutes later, I transferred them to KuCoin using the Tron network, which is just another network besides Ethereum. It's just cheaper. It was $250. You know, 100K for 250 to transfer to KuCoin, which is a pretty good deal.
That's not bad. Okay. And 0.09 isn't bad. Got it. Okay.
That's just the trading fee. So
Cool. Well, that's helpful. I mean, so just to put this in perspective, and I know there's more questions, so I want to get to it, but, you know, somebody tweeted and said, oh, you know, but the fees are so much. And what I didn't remind them because I was doing other things. What I wanted to remind them of is if it's an IRA, it's not all your money. The government's got a mortgage on it. So some of it's their money. And so again, like the way I'm going to do it, like I can pay my fees from the structure itself. So it's technically you're not getting a deduction because it's an IRA, it's an individual retirement account. But if you're paying with pre-tax dollars, aren't you in a sense getting a deduction? And so if there's fees for trading and whatever to get exposed to this asset class, I mean, what are my options? To buy GBTC, to stay in QQQQ, which has fees, and then you know, everything else. And if you're in just a traditional 401k, there's a lot of fees. So I used to love dealing with business owners when I worked, because business owners aren't as fee concerned. They're more concerned about the net result, the bottom line. And I think since we're all bullish on crypto, I think the bottom line here is pretty good if we can get exposure with dollars that we wouldn't normally get exposure to.
If you go look, and like you said, if you look in most IRAs, whoever's managing your IRA for you is charging you 1-2% every year.
Plus the fee funds. I mean, that was my business, man. So yeah, I know all about it. I did insurance for clients. And so we knew the going rate was 1%. And so we'd oftentimes do it for like, hey, you're a double client with us, insurance and everything else. So we'll do it for 0.75, right? We'll do it for 0.8. We'll do it for 0.5. You're a really big client, but that adds up. Not to mention the Legos inside those, even if you're using ETFs and Vanguard funds, right? There's another 10, 20 basis points, depending on the fund. And if they're using an actively managed fund. Yeah.
When you go talk to your financial advisor, he charges you another 1-2%.
Well, generally, if they're charging you an hourly fee, but otherwise that wrap fee was what we were charging. But I digress. I'm no longer doing that. But yes, you are paying all kinds of fees once you understand how the sausage is made.
Most people that use a financial advisor refuse to pay the hourly rate and want to do it on a percentage basis, and they don't realize how much money they're losing every year by doing that.
True statement. Hey, thanks for that. And if you can DM me or tweet and then we can share with everybody, that'd be great. The resources that you shared, that'd be awesome. Who else has questions? I got a pickleball game, so I got to leave at 4. Yeah.
Yo, Hutch, I was going to say, you know, this, like, I've heard you speak in other Luna spaces, and I think generally I understand about half of what you say. I assume that I understand about 20% of tax laws overall. And I think what would be super helpful is some type of Google spreadsheet and possibly a couple, you know, just a little storybook of a couple of pages, maybe some picture graphs for us dumb degens, to be able to
okay, continue.
To be able to follow, like, you have this sort of tax law superpower, right? And you're trying to empower all of us, but I can only take in so much information, and then I try to translate that. I like text my tax guy, and he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Right.
Yeah.
So not only do we need a platform that we can follow for this self-directed, Roth IRA and normal IRA.
You need to be able to translate for your financial talking people.
I have to have it. Yeah. It needs to be able to translate so that I can just send him my shit and he'll go, oh, okay, this is this and this is that. And you know what I mean?
Well, first, like, of all, he's probably not going to, because there's a conflict of interest. He wants you to keep his money, keep your money with him. But I understand what you're saying. I'm not really Dr. Seuss, but I do make videos. So what I'll probably do is I'll probably make a video. I was trying to record this, so I just did it once and I was talking to you guys, but I was like showing and drawing. I'll probably just end up doing that. So hopefully that'll give you a trail of breadcrumbs for your financial talking people in your life.
Okay. Yeah. He's not a tax guy at one of the places. He's just a private, he's like retired. He's just helping me out, you know. Okay. But I pay him every year to basically manage my returns for me.
There you go.
Fair
enough. I can respect that. I've gotten that criticism in the past, that sometimes I get excited and I leave people in the dust, and for that I apologize. And it's kind of like me and the Seffy show, man. I started listening to Seffy, y'all just threw me in the deep end and I just learned to swim.
I mean, it really does seem like the, you know, it's like a tax law superpower, you know, as long as you know the rules, you know how to play by all of them. And even you being, you know, an accountant paying for a, what's it called, an audit with this other company and asking them a bunch of questions, like, that's all great.
I knew what to ask, but you're right. And you know what's great about it is I learn all this stuff and then they go change it. And then you figure that out and then they go change it again. But fair enough, Crazy. I will come up with the video as soon as I have some spare time again.
You know, even if you started like a Google spreadsheet and made it so that it could be like community added to, you know, chances are nobody's going to fucking troll it and start adding weird shit. You know, because at least, you know, and if they do, we could just block them out or whatever. But yeah, some type of community advice sheet.
Hey, you know, it'd be super helpful. Like, so I don't, that's not part of my superpowers yet. Not to say it couldn't be, but if you know how to do that, you could take what you did learn from here and you could start it and I could collaborate with you. We could jump on a Zoom and we could do it together. And then I'd learn something. How about something like that?
Okay. Yeah. I could do that.
Right. Yeah. Hit me up. Yeah. Right. I think I follow you. If not, just tweet me. I'll follow you and we can figure it out. Who else got a question before I got 13 minutes before my pickleball game? Marty, did I hear you in the beginning?
Yeah. Just wanted to, if you could drill down just a little bit. And again, this is very U.S. centric, obviously, this whole conversation.
Yeah, of course. That's why it's not. Yeah.
So you were talking about a dip, then transfer from the IRA to the Roth IRA. Could you just explain that like a touch more?
Sure. So what my thinking is like, let's just take a traditional, like an IRA, in 2020. So if you had an IRA that was worth $1 million that you wanted to convert to Roth in February 2020, and it was all in, let's just say it was all in FANG stocks, and then come March 15, 2020, it was worth about $700,000. Would you rather convert that IRA to Roth in February or March?
Got it.
March, because you're going to pay tax on the amount converted. Whether it's $1 million to $700,000 or $100,000 to $70,000, you're going to pay less tax. So I want to convert during dips. Now, in my other video, if you haven't seen it, I talk about bracket bumping and bracket absorption. You have to be careful whether you're working with to bump up to high to the higher brackets, or if you're not working, there's also a whole added layer I didn't bring up. If you're retired and you're on Medicare and everything else, you don't want to make your Medicare premiums more expensive. Or if you're self-employed, there's the 199 cap A. And I do explain this a little bit. So Gwazi, check out the video. You'll see what I'm talking about. There's the NIIT tax, the Obamacare tax. There's these different little kind of trip wires or landmines that you don't want to blow through. But there are some very favorable brackets right now that you want to absorb or even convert. And so towards the end of the year, like about now, you should have an idea of where you're going to shake out income wise, whether it's active income, self-employment, trading income, whatever. You know where you're going to fall about. And you want to look at those brackets and you want to absorb the good brackets. Like there's a 12, there's a 22, there's a 24% bracket that goes all the way up to like 300 something thousand. That may be the cheapest taxes you'll ever see again. I don't know. And they can change it with the stroke of a pen any which way, but there's a lot of reasons why that may be the cheapest bracket you will ever see. And so even if there's not a dip and you have an opportunity to absorb some of that bracket, you may want to do that. Now I'll walk you through the LLC the mechanics in just a second, but just conceptually, you want to convert whether you're just absorbing a good bracket that you have available to you before the end of the year, because it's use it or lose it. Like it's gone once that train leaves the station. You don't get to say, hey, I didn't use up all the 24% bracket in 2022, back in 2021. You don't get to say that. So that's one reason. Or like if there's all kinds of FUD or UST misses its peg a little bit and now all of a sudden Luna drops back to 50s or 40s, I might want to look and say I'm 70-30 in my LLC. 70s owned by my IRA, 30s owned by my Roth. I might want to look and just convert some of that internally with the LLC. It'd be like, Marty, if you and I owned a company together, let's say we owned, an auto body shop, and we're just passive investors. We got guys working for us. You own 70% of it. I own 30% of it. And you wanted to retire. I'm still working. And you wanted to sell me 20%. Well, basically, we would have lawyers or registered agents write something up and put it in the notes that ownership changed hands in the LLC book or folder or whatever. It would just, it would be like a memo. It would be there, it'd be memorialized, but it's pretty much internal. I don't think you even need to file it, is what he said. I think annually you may need to report it, like on the tax, somewhere it's filed. But at that point, that transaction was consummated on that date. Well, it's kind of like
super helpful. I mean, I think, you know, again, you busted on my poor boomer soul here, or whatever else. It's totally accurate. It's like what you said was spot on. It's like I have like totally ignored the IRA side of my thing. You know, it's like Forex, personal training on crypto, personal training on the market, selling commodities, you know, buying commodities. You know, I'm totally focused on that. And over there is that IRA thing. And
set it and forget it.
I was like, what the hell's going on over there? I have no idea.
Yep.
Spot on. Just spot on.
It's normal, hey, man. Hutch, you're not alone. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Hutch, what you're describing is basically just the Roth rollover, right? You're rolling over a traditional IRA to a Roth, and you just have to pay the income tax on that.
Yeah, it's a conversion. I just never thought about it.
It's like just something I just like never thought about it. Even though I moved to doing Roth funding in later years, I just never, it's like the IRA. Who cares? It's just sitting over right there intact.
It'll just be there when I retire and whatever. I just set and forget it. And I just kind of, I just sit here passively in mutual funds, and the financial advisors charge me what they charge me. I don't even know how that sauce is made. I don't want to look at it. And that's normal. And that's why I'm saying, like, to bring it full circle. Yes, for all of us that are proactive about our crypto, there's a whole other source of dollars that we could be utilizing, for one. Second of all, there's a huge swath of Xers and boomers that have a lot of money because they've already had a lot of compounding and put in a lot of money and set it and forget it. And they're curious about crypto, but their take home after tax dollars, they don't want to risk because it's spoken for. Or it's their sacred cow or China egg or whatever you want to call it. But they maybe have a little bit of a risk tolerance if they knew they could access it. And so that's why I wanted to get this out. That's why I wanted Terra Spaces to record it, because there's a lot of people coming into our ecosystem that are going to hear about whatever, Anchor 19%. Shit, if you just did that, that's a hell of a bond fund, right? And even though there's risk, smart contract risk and depegging risk, to me, that there may be less risk than government bonds, right? And quote unquote investment grade bonds, right?
I mean, it's a great bond fund. There's no question about that. And of course, the beauty of it is that it's not a black market. It's not a dark market, right?
Yeah.
It's like so many other of the bond funds are just basically dark markets.
Yeah, I'm propping up the urn. You're welcome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. I got like 5 more minutes if anybody else has a question or comment. All right. I will see if I can land the plane here. So, yes, this was American centric, and I don't mean to be that way. It just happens to be what I know about. And I am curious and interested in other countries' tax laws and would be open to just exploring what's possible. I just don't know what I don't know. But I do know this. It is my superpower, as Guizhi said. And what I know is there's trillions of dollars sloshing around out there neglected. And a lot of us on this call have our fair share of that, and we're not really probably as proactive as we could be. I admittedly, I'm in the business, and I, since it's like for retirement later, I'm not as excited about those dollars. But now when I realize, shoot, I have a whole other pool of money that I could DCA into crypto, that's very exciting. Now, keep in mind, if it's an IRA, you have a lien against those. You have a silent partner in this deal. And that's why I like the multiple member structure, and I think paying an extra $700 for setup, or I don't know what broad, whatever they're called, charges, I think it's worth it to have that flexibility, because we will have dips, we will have volatility, and having a Roth. So I use the analogy of the farmer. An IRA, if you're a farmer, you have an IRA or Roth. With an IRA, you can elect to pay your taxes on the harvest and save taxes on the seeds. With the Roth, you can choose to pay your taxes on the seed and not pay any taxes on the growth of the harvest. Now, intuitively, we all know that not paying taxes on the harvest is the way to go. But yet somehow, when we know we're going to have to pay a tax bill every April, it feels good to save that little bit of tax every year. And so we choose to forego the taxes on our seed, not even thinking about the repercussions about the harvest. And so I think paying for that multiple member structure so that you can time those dips and you could do some annual absorbing of the brackets will, it's almost like getting extra pumping on your crypto. Really, just like it's that same stroke of the pen effect. I'm going to share this little analogy about paying tax on the seed. So one of the financial planners I follow, he made up this story and I just love it. So when we defer tax in IRA or 401k, essentially what we're doing is we're getting a loan on the taxes we owe. Like, we could pay the taxes now. We're not saving the taxes. We're just postponing or deferring them. And it's almost like the government's giving us what seems like an interest-free loan, but it's really just like a teaser rate, right? And so if you came to me and said, hey, Hutch, I need a loan right now. I'm going to defer $20,000 in my IRA. Normally, I'd owe about $7,000 in tax, but I just want a loan. You pay the $7,000, and I'll pay you in the future. So if I offered that loan to you, what's all your next question going to be to me? Your next question is going to be what? What's the rate, Hutch? What's the rate for this loan to not pay my $7,000 in tax now? And you know what the government says? You know, I don't know yet. I don't really know what the rate's going to be. I don't need the money now, but I'm going to need it later. And so when I know how much I need later on, then I'll tell you how much you owe me. How many of you would take that loan? None of you. But we all do it every year, because it's what we're told in TradFi is the thing to do. So I strongly recommend paying a little bit more for the multi-member, so that when there's dips, it's another thing, because we're all sad when there's dips. It's something to be excited about. I've been excited lately when there's dips, because it means I get to fill my bags because I was late to the party. When you set this up and there's dips, you get to move some over from traditional IRA to Roth. Anyway, I appreciate you all being here. I hope this was helpful. This is fun for me. I really, really enjoy this space. I love this community. To all the people listening, coming in, I hope you enjoyed that. Going to have a video later on my channel. Hutch on Crypto is the YouTube channel. It's one on taxes right now. If you guys haven't checked it out for the end of the year, we'll talk about the bracket absorbing, tax harvesting. There's some other stuff in there. I talk a little bit about this at the end. And I got a cool video coming up.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Hutch hosting the DGEN IRA Roth LLC. Happy fun time hour, make money hour. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Put your hands up like you got a couple questions. Ain't no misdirection, just a bunch of flexing. All aggressive, insane from all directions. Smoke rolls in when I start a session. Blank canvas, blaze up the handlers. Rocking back and forth like I got the van stuck. Don't grind the clutch, mind you hush. Put your mask on and don't touch the antlers. Feeling untouchable when I'm on the verse. But in the universe, I'm just writing some words. Enticing these nerds while I'm laying out my memoirs. Like, remember when I had to fight the centaur? I'm a book nerd, let me take you on the journey. Lost in the labyrinth, searching out the lost fern. For certain, got the taxes included. Acting like a writer, never felt secluded. Try to
get into the shit and line them up. Just another fixed game of try my luck. Go lighten up, dog. It could always be worse. Unless you're in the back of a hearse, then you're dead or putting in new speakers. It's a toss up, driver or just tweakers. Don't stress, yo. I've done the research. Living life like a bunch of fucking lemurs. It's a remake off the cutting floor. We take a little bit of poison and put it in the cheesecake. Tastes great, less filling, less stress, more killing. As he blew the cornerstone out the building, and the blocks came tumbling down, all humble. Feels like we're drowning in a little puddle. Rebuttal, I should be taking off in the shuttle, getting high in space with the Hubble.